Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello, brother. How are you, man?
Hey, man. How's the reception on this phone? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly, but I am having some issues here. Hello, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. If you can hear me right here on blogtalkradio.com, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, back in the air chair, doing what I do best, educating those of you out there who may not have heard about all the things that are going on, you know, in this country and around the world. Thank you so much for joining me. TheRonKellyShow.com is the website, the official website of The Ron Kelly Show, and there's a wealth of information you can find there. Of course, there's The Ron Kelly Show merchandise page. You can go there, and you can find out, you know, there's a lot there. And also, you can purchase Ron Kelly Show merchandise, so please do that. There's T-shirts and all kinds of stuff there for your enjoyment. So thank you so much for joining us and for being loyal to the Ron Kelly Show. All right, everybody, we're about to jump this thing off. We're welcoming Eric Dawson, better known as Newark Citizen. Welcome, Eric Dawson, to the program, everybody, to the Ron Kelly Show family. Thank you, Eric, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you, sir. Okay, everybody, the phone number here, is, I should say, is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214, because some people, I've been accused of saying that a little bit too fast. So it's 347-426-3214, everybody. I'm just trying to reach out to the person at Blog Talk Radio to try to find out what's going on. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. And we're talking today about the city of Newark, New Jersey, not just Newark, but in the surrounding communities, specifically Jersey City and Patterson as well. Before we start, I just want to say happy birthday to Michael Jackson. You know, Michael Jackson's birthday is today, and he would have been 56, I believe, somewhere around there. You know, Eric, I remember when Michael Jackson used to have a video. Back in the day, Michael Jackson would put a video, premiere video, and Channel 2 would stop their programming to put Michael Jackson's video on the air. Network would stop the presses to put Michael Jackson's video on the air. Now, that's power. That's power. You know, Michael Jackson, probably the greatest entertainer of all time.
I wouldn't argue that.
Right, people die. People die, and we forget. You know, people die and we kind of forget.
Broadcast into the world.
Now it's working. All right, everybody, we're going to rewind. We're going to play the promo. We'll come right back. It's Eric Dawson, better known as Newark Citizen on Facebook. I believe Mr. Scott is in the house. Earl Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Kelly. How are you today, sir?
All right, doing well. All right, we're going to take a quick rerun. I'm going to play the promo because it didn't play first, and we're going to rewind the show. So everybody, just stand by just a second. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and I thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. The phone number here, 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. Welcome, Eric Dawson, better known as I can't say better known, because maybe he is better known as Eric Dawson. But but I guess on Facebook, I should say better known. On Facebook, better known as Newark Citizen. And Mr. Earl Scott, who is an impeccable dresser, by the way, brother. I'm really, you know, sartorial splendor you got going on there. I can really, I'm a fan of your choice of attire, my brother. Always looking dapper. Looking dapper in those pictures. Looking very dapper, my brother. And,
I'm
you know,
I'm a throwback to Marquis and Mr. Mann and Lincoln Rose and Cornwalls in those days when Newark were really, you know, had some real clothing stores out there to be able to have us looking very well.
Yes, absolutely, brother. You were definitely, keeping it 100. And this is the way that we should be dressing. I, too, am when I put it on, I can put it on. Let me just say it like that, Brother Scott. When I put it on, I can put it on. Everybody just got back from North Carolina. I had a great time down there with the family. Got there Sunday, came back yesterday. Had a beautiful time with the family. You know, and there was a sign on one of the stores, Eric Dawson and Earl Scott. There was a sign on one of the doors that said, "Don't come in here with your pants down."
Mm.
Pull your pants. Now, this is a store down south, and actually I was in Maxton, North Carolina at the time going into a store, and they had a sign on the door that said, "Don't come in here with your pants down. We don't want to see your underwear, my brothers." And I was like, okay. I'm feeling that because, you know, and that this is not what we're going to be talking about, brothers, but I just want to open with this about how, you know, especially in the summertime, how these brothers are walking around with their pants hanging off their behind. Just black, well, you do see some other ethnic groups, but it's mostly us. You know, it's mostly African-Americans who walk around like that. And Brother Scott, I think if they knew the history of that sagging, they might want to pull those pants up, brothers.
That's correct. That comes out of the prison system, it's unfortunate that a lot of that behavior that's exhibited does come out of incarceration and being in that kind of mentality. I even see gentlemen walking around with shower slippers on like they still walk in the yard or up on the chair. So it's that prison mentality, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Eric, I'm sure you've seen many, many folks walking around like that. And now do we see so many of them, brothers, because we live in those environments because we live there, we see it.
This is just me. I think it's ignorance, and I think that we are people who like trends. And we like fads and fashion. And sometimes we take a left when we should take a right when it comes to fashion. And I think that we idolize the wrong things in our community. So, like you guys said, this whole thing comes out of the prison system. And so to some extent, you know, you do have a lot of folks who were incarcerated who come out and they bring that out here. But then those people are being looked up to. You see, and the young folks in the community, they, for the wrong reasons, aspire to be like these guys. They think that it's cool, right? And so they emulate them. and they really don't. And part of the reason they emulate them when it comes to the men is because they don't have men in their lives. Their fathers are gone. And so when they're searching for a role model, that's what they get.
What do you say to that, brother? Errol Scott also is joining us this afternoon. What do you say to that, brother?
I think he has a point, but, you know, the thing about it is that in my travels in and out of the prison, going in and conducting meetings, they don't go into the prison doing that outwardly mm-hmm. like they do here in the street. They don't do that unless you are involved in some kind of strange relationship in there. Most of the people that I've seen in Rollway, Trenton, in different places, they pull their pants up down there, you know. So, but it is a behavior that comes out of the prison. As far as having no fathers and all that, I don't know how much that got to do with, because I didn't have a father around either, but I came up in a different era. But I think what Mr. Dawson says, you know, does have, I give credit to what he's saying for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and everybody, just for those of you who are just joining us that may have been a little bit late, we welcome Eric Dawson, better known on Facebook as as Newark Citizen, and Mr. Errol Scott, who is also a concerned citizen in the city of Newark. We'll talk more about his background in just a few minutes. Everybody, the phone number here is 347-426-3214. It's 347-426-3214. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Now, we promised everybody, I promised everyone we'd be talking about Newark and the surrounding towns, Jersey City, Patterson, Irvington, East Orange, not necessarily Orange or West Orange, but, you know, not West, not really West Essex, because the problems are in East Essex, not West Essex, which I reside in. West Essex, I guess you can say, and there's not a whole lot going on over here. But you go down Bloomfield Avenue a few paces, and, you know, the whole landscape changes, brothers. Now, just recently, Roz Baraka, just a few months ago, I believe, Roz Baraka was elected mayor of the city of Newark. I reached out to Siobhan, Brother Jeffries on what's that other website? In whatchamacallit? And why can't I think of that? LinkedIn. I reached out to Brother Shavar Jeffrey, so I'll be trying to get him to come on to the radio program and talk about. I'll be trying to get in touch with him to talk, have him come on the radio program and talk about his background, which is quite impressive. Shavar Jeffries. Very impressive schooling and
yeah, he
and
just
such.
He just landed a pretty nice job, right? With a very prestigious law firm.
Impressive. But even now, let me ask you guys, you know, before we get going here, now is that could that have not resonated with folks? You know, just a plain, you know, because we all know that Newark isn't Cambridge, Massachusetts, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So could that, and I'm going to ask you first, Errol Scott, could that have been an Achilles heel for Shavar Jeffries with the highbrow schooling and all that he attained coming, you know, and running for mayor in a town where, you know, the percentage of folks who graduate from high school is quite low?
I think that they characterized him and framed him and along the lines of what Shaw did to Corey as being the outsider, the carpetbagger, that mentality. And, you know, and that's how they framed him and shaped him up and presented him, is that he's not one of us, you know. And here's a man that, you know, his mother was killed in Newark, and he does come from there, but he had an opportunity. See, this is the hypocrisy.
Let me interrupt you a second, brother. So a black man with an education is an outsider?
Well, that's what I'm getting ready to say. And the trouble what I have with is so many of our people died so that we could go to these great institutions, and we, you know, during the 40s, the 50s, and before that. So we go into these institutions that at one time didn't allow us to go there. So we're cultured in this environment now. People like Hal Ford, like Barack and Corey and them, and then when they go to these institutions and they are able to achieve higher achievement, they come back to the neighborhood, and now they're not black enough. but yet still in the beginning we were sacrificing to put our people in these kind of institutions. Once they go get cultured in these institutions, now they're not black enough. So, you know, that is part of how politicians and preachers keep control of our community still, is painting people as victims or they're not one of us. And I don't know what that means, that you're not one of us. I mean, I just never bought into that. And our people seem to always gravitate towards, you understand, feeling as though someone is an outsider and not part of us. And I think education is the key.
So one of the things that I advocate, and it's just real simple, is asking people to raise the bar, right? Raise the bar in what you expect.
Is this Eric?
Yeah, this is Eric. Raise the
this
bar.
This is Eric. Yes, I want to know what his thoughts were on that.
Yeah. So
on what
the
Brother
bar.
Scott just said. I want to know what your thoughts on that. Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
so what do you thought? Like, I know that Brother Scott, hold on, I know that Brother Scott was a, I believe that Mr. Scott was a supporter of Shavar Jeffries.
Right.
And you,
no, I didn't,
Eric,
I didn't.
Well, I was an avid supporter. So disclaimer for me, I was an avid supporter of Shavar's, right? I just thought that Shavar
well,
had the credentials.
Who was a supporter of Roz Baraka? But who supported Roz Baraka? Neither of you supported Roz Baraka?
Well, let me just say this right here. I wasn't personally too happy with either candidates, but I think that who I voted for in the end is my personal business. I wasn't too happy about either candidates because I think that, you know, that some of the things that I don't appreciate in politicians is painting our community as being victimized and that telling them that, you know, to catch on to this Messiah Savior mentality that's presented to our people today, that, you know, let me fix your neighborhoods for you because credential is your problem, this is your problem, that is your problem. And the reality is that we need to take a look in the mirror. Our problems is our own problems. We have created the cesspool and the situation the way it is today, and New York didn't get in the condition that it's in today overnight. It took time to get here because of the fact of people, I can honestly admit, like myself, that over the years they had traveled through our communities, you understand, and didn't speak out and allowed it to become unhealthy and toxic. So I think that there's a lot of people that, you know, we can hold accountable for why Newark is the way it is. I do respect Roz Baraka and Shavar. I just think that they're two different kind of individuals. I think Shavar Jeffries is a good politician, but I don't think he's that great of a leader. And, you know, it's the same way with Corey. I thought Corey was a great politician, but I didn't think he was a great leader.
Right. So, you know,
okay.
I had...
You know, and a lot of times we go into the booths. I'm so sorry. Let me just interrupt you for a second, Eric. A lot of, you know, more often than not, many of us go into the booths with one person on our mind, and, you know, we get in there and say, oh, you know what? So, you know, we may support a person, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we voted for him. Go ahead, brother.
No, what I was going to say is, I think that part of the issue, again, is regarding the perception of Shavar Jeffries being not one of us, not connected, had a lot to do with the fact that Newarkers, in my opinion, they have not raised that bar. They don't expect and demand more. And so when you have a person who has the background of a Shavar Jeffries, who overcame the obstacles that he overcame and was fortunate enough to do what most grandmothers and mothers wish their children had an opportunity to do, right? They go to a Boys and Girls Club. They get a scholarship to Seton Hall Prep. Then they get another scholarship, and they go off, to Duke. And then they get a law degree from Columbia. I mean, how can you hate on that? But during the campaign, they were hating on it. I mean, it was for me, it was sad that there could not be this celebration that this young man, who's 39 years old, unless he celebrated a birthday and turned a year older, is about 39 years old and accomplished all of that, that the community couldn't embrace that. And they first start off, and the guy lives right on Chancellor Avenue, hangs out in the yard playing catch with his son. And so they painted him. You're right, Earl. They try to paint him first and say, he doesn't live here. That's what they said. He doesn't live here. And they all knew it wasn't true.
But what it says, Eric, is they were playing
to the lowest common denominator in our community. See, when I grew up, right? We went through this thing, and if you're my age, I'm 51, you know, we went through, oh, he's lighter than him. His nose is broader than his. He's got thicker lips. Oh, he's got good hair. See, that's the lowest common denominator in our community. And so now it's moved from that a little bit to education. Oh, you think you're smarter than. Oh, you talk white. And so when they played to that, they had a whole bunch of folks who were more than willing to embrace it. And that's a shame.
Well, see, and the other thing, too, see, and this opens up another can of worms because, you know, we talk about the kids not wanting to go to school. Now, if no one is encouraging them to go,
right,
then, you know, if you
got they're encouraging them to boycott now, aren't they?
Right,
if you got people.
If you got the adults, if you got the adults frowning on folks who have gone to school, then what can we say about them in regards to being parents and encouraging their own children to go to school? Everybody, we'll take a break, and we'll come right back with Eric Dawson and Earl Scott. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating. There was a need in talk radio. And one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching at society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on YourTalkRadio.com. Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, yes, indeed. It is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. Welcome back to the program. August 29th, 2014. The summer is just about over. So if you haven't done what you plan to do, you better hurry up and do it now. Everybody, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for having all of you here. Beautiful day in the neighborhood this afternoon. And we're talking today with Eric Dawson, better known as on Facebook as Newark Citizen, and of course Earl Scott, Sartorial Splendor, I like to call him. You can call us right here at the show is 347-426-3214 if you care to. 347-426-3214. And we're talking about Newark, New Jersey, and not just necessarily Newark, but you know, there's Newarks everywhere. Eric and Earl, there are Newarks everywhere. All across the United States, there's a Newark. In every state of the union, there's a Newark. And, you know, there are folks who, you know, do you think that the apathy, you know, has really harmed black people in, you know, in regards to voting and all, that just not enough of us are voting, Earl? Just not enough of us are voting. How does that hurt our community? And Eric, I'll ask you after that.
Mm-hmm. I think that what really bothers me, first of all, let me just say that I don't think just because of the fact of Mr. Jeffrey's credentials and where he's been, that makes him, I don't think the situation would be any different out of these 60 days since the election. This is a long problem. Anyone that had got in office is going to have the same thing. I don't think because he has these credentials that he's a better person or more qualified than Mr. Baraka. The problem is with the voting and the question that you asked is that we don't allow people to participate in their own life because we're always presenting our case as though they can't do it. And so if you have people that always make them think that there's scarcity in their life, that's why they'll always feel as though they don't have enough. And I just feel as though that we should put the mirror more in front of people and empower people that, yes, in order to change things, you have to be a participant in not only your own life, but you have to get up and do something for yourself. This thing about that, you know, Jews are coming in, taking our town, or that's taking our town, or that, no. We have to go to school. I mean, 92% of my college class was foreigners. How could you explain that? 92%, the cab drivers in Penn Station are from a different country. Everybody is doing some things for ourselves, and I think there are some of us that are doing some, but we need to empower our people more to be all they can be, to help them live their potential, to get them into the voting process. And they have to be willing to participate themselves, but we have to do more ourselves and stop. The civil rights movement kicked the door open for us, and most of us got in and sat on the couch and got relaxed, feeling as though something is owed to us, and we have to get up and do more for our lives.
Right, because the 40 acres and a mule ain't coming. The 40 acres and a mule is not coming. Eric, what do you say to that?
Well, my issue, firstly, and it really is an issue with Mayor Baraka, is simply holding him accountable for the words that come out of his mouth. So during the election, I challenged then-Councilman, now Mayor Baraka, to present a plan. He actually inboxed me and came into a thread and said he had a plan. And then he put out a mailer that said he was the only candidate that had a plan that could get the gang members to put their guns down now. And
what was
so
the plan?
We look at,
what was
that's
the plan?
What I'm asking. And so I'm saying, so now, 60 days in, we see there was 5 murders in 5 days, gang-related, right? So he obviously didn't have a plan to get them to put their guns down now. So that's all I'm saying. So we can go back and forth about credentials with Shavar and credentials with Raz. I'm holding a mailer in my hand where Raz Baraka approved the message and said, I am the only candidate that has a plan to get the gang members to put their guns down now.
But the thing is, Eric and Earl, the thing is, because I don't want to make this about the campaign, but the thing is...
No, I'm not.
Here's the thing. They bought it. People bought
they did
it.
Buy it. And so now to answer your question about
if somebody sells you a Rolex and you think it's fake, but you buy it anyway, shame on you. Not shame on the seller, shame on the buyer.
And you're 100% right. And so when you have 29%...
Buyer beware.
When you have 29% of the electorate decide the fate of Newark, that is scary.
And
71% of the people.
Shame on the voters because they didn't come out. They didn't care enough to vote. So shame on them. Shame on them. Same thing happens all across. Like in Patterson, for example, you know, you only had the winner won with 8,000 votes, a little more than 8,000 votes. Now here you have a town with over 150,000 people, and the winner won. Less than 20,000 folks voted out of a town with between 150 and 175,000 people. Now, you can't tell me that the only people who voted are the ones who are registered to vote. That's a crock. And with Newark, if only 29, you know, now we both know, we all three of us know that more than 29% of the of Newarkers are registered to vote.
That's correct.
We know that. We know that. But the apathy... Again, like I spoke to earlier, the apathy and folks just not believing in the process anymore, folks just, you know, all politicians are crooks, and that's it. And this is what's hurting.
I don't believe that they don't believe in a process. I believe they're lazy, right? I believe that they're lazy. And when we're talking about voting, let's look at all of the people who are marching now to keep their kids out of school, but let's look at what the voting record was like in the last school board election. People won with less than 1,500 votes to become a member on the Board of Education, right? So people didn't come out and vote to determine their children's futures. But now they want to go out and they want to tell their kids to stay out of school, and they want to march and protest and hold up traffic down on Broad Street. This is ridiculous.
Those same folks who are I wasn't supporter of either Barack Obama or Jeffrey, since I don't live in Newark, but these are the same folks now who derided Shavar Jeffries because of his educational background. And this is part of the problem. It's just like bad is good and good is bad. Just like, you know, these kids going back in the day when I was, my mother said, go to school or else. And I knew what or else meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a father in the house. It was just my mother, and my mother ruled with an iron fist, and I mean fist. So, you know, folks are sending the kids to school so they can be, and I'll let you interject in just a second. Folks are sending the kids to school so the teachers wind up being babysitters instead of educators. Go ahead. Who wanted to make a comment?
All right. I do. You know, I'm a little older. I started school in 1957, okay? And let me just say this. I'm not going to tell my age, Mr. Kelly, but anyway.
I'm scratching my head. I'm doing the math.
Right.
You're looking well, brother. You're looking well. You're looking well, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll be 62 years old in 4 or 5 months
from
now. But anyway.
You're looking well.
I heard, we all plan. This is what I'm trying to get at, is that regardless of what people say, and I know the tongue can be very vicious at times. Sometimes the tongue can be vicious. And we plan because I plan things, and it didn't go down the way that I wanted it to go down, and it's easy when you're not in the seat to make different statements and stuff. But my point is that there's no way. I wouldn't care if Mr. Jeffries or Mr. whoever came in here with all kinds of credentials. The problem is much deeper, regardless if he said that I have the plan to do that. We're only 60 days in. So to make an assessment, to make an indictment that, well, you haven't lived up to what you said that you were going to do,
unfair.
I think that is
it's
a little premature.
It is premature, absolutely. He's only been there. He's still arranging his cabinet.
But what does now mean? Tell me what now means. Now has one definition, right? Now says now.
But
so
I think
he had a plan to get him to do it now.
But
then
Eric,
that's all I'm asking.
Right,
he said I have a plan to get him to do it now.
Eric, who, you know, shame on the folks who believe that.
I'm holding those folks accountable, but I'm still holding him accountable. So, yes,
okay.
I'm holding shame on
those
folks.
That's your right.
But you know what?
Or
I can't go
to all of the
parents who now have these children who were murdered senselessly. You can't go to them and say, well, shame on Mayor Baraka for lying to you. Right?
Hold on, Eric. In fairness to Roz Baraka, it's only been 60 days. His first 100 days have not passed.
Now means now. So, Eric Dawson, you took it as when I stepped through it.
Literally and figuratively, you considered now as now.
Well, because he also said that he had a ceasefire, right? And then I challenged him on that, and I said it was a failed ceasefire. And he said, no, it was a very successful ceasefire. So I have the experience to get them to do this. Okay, fine. Well, now you're there, and you haven't done it.
But why are we negotiating ceasefires in America on American streets? They're doing that in Israel and Palestine.
Yes.
Why are we
well,
doing
that's a whole other issue, right? I mean, that's the economic issue out there in the street, right? These guys are trying to get turf so that they can sell what they're selling so that they can earn because they're ill-equipped, back to the education piece, they're ill-equipped to go get a job to take care of themselves, right?
Okay, and it's also unfair, but there's 59 murders in Newark. Many of those murders occurred before Roz Baraka assumed the position.
I'm not saying that. I'm not arguing that.
Can't attribute that to him either. I mean, I don't particularly favor either one of them because I'm not up on what they were about and how they campaigned and what they campaigned on. But I will say that, and I'll agree with Brother Earl Scott, that if that's what he said, it's a little premature to judge.
Well, when should we judge?
Roz Baraka
when,
now.
Well, tell me when we should.
Can I just say this? Give me a timeline.
I'll go on your timeline.
Brother Earl Scott, respond to that quickly, please, because we need to go to
the timeline. When is it appropriate, Earl?
I don't think that personally.
Speak to that.
That I should be sitting around, you know, by the roadside waiting with Tripwise to wait and see if you understand you're going to step this way or not. I think that it does me no good, or it does anyone any good to constantly look for the mayor, if you understand, to make a mistake. I think that what I see, and I don't want to get into it with you, Mr. Dawson, you personalize this situation so deep. And when you personalize things, sometimes you're not going to see the other side. And I can say this. I was laid off by the administration in June 27th, by the administration that's there right now. But yet and still, I left there with dignity, knowing that I had qualifications,
right.
And I never personalized because of the fact that I'm not there anymore,
right.
That there may be people that may not, that's there now, that's not as qualified as me. I walked out the door with my dignity, and
okay.
I found out that if I personalize walking away and being angry at the mayor about this or being angry because he hasn't done this yet, then that's doing
oh, no, no, no.
I'm not angry.
Let me just ask Earl a question. Now, you were laid off because of the new regime because of the new administration?
Was it because of the transition, or were you just laid off? Because of the transition. And
okay.
I expected to be laid off because of the fact I looked at it is that it gives someone else an opportunity to feed their family, gives them another opportunity for someone else to move forward with their career. I've had a nice run there. I've done some great things. And see, a lot of people don't know when the mayor sat on the city council, he approved the hotspot grant that's in our section we collaborated with the New York Police Department on a hotspot grant that to reduce violence and do outreach, which was between certain venues in a certain section in Newark where that crime in that area reduced. And it was the mayor and when he was a councilman and other people that were council before them that signed off on that. So my point is that we always got to look for the good in people, too. He may be over here not doing things that we may not like, but look for the good also before we make assessments that it's a complete failure. That's all I'm saying.
The only question that I want answered is this, right? When is it appropriate to begin to hold the mayor accountable? 100 days, 200 days, 400 days into his administration? Just tell me, and then I understand.
You hold him accountable the days you understand when you are doing what you need to do for
your that's not true. He's getting paid, right? He says I'm the mayor, but he's getting paid, right? He's the one who created his transition team, right? The one who appointed all of the directors, right? He's the one who laid you off and laying other people off, right? So I'm not making those decisions. He's making them. But you're telling me that I shouldn't look to hold him accountable?
I didn't say that. You're not looking to hold him accountable.
Oh, sure I am.
I'm looking to hold him accountable to do the things you're looking for, a reason to constantly discredit the man without even giving him an opportunity.
Earl, this is a simple question.
I can't put a timeline on it. I don't know how they told Obama They're tired of hearing about Bush now.
Okay.
So when was that done with him? After the first year? So I'm saying is that I don't know. I'm not sitting around waiting. If I see something out of pocket that I feel as though that he should have addressed or that he should be addressing, I should bring it to his attention. But for me to sit around and say, oh, you didn't do that. Oh, boy, remember you said, that is the most childish, irrelevant
You know what?
All right, well, hold on, bro. Hold on. Hold on. We got to take a break, fellas. Hold on. We'll take a break, and we'll come right back, and we'll continue our discussion with Eric Dawson, a.k.a. Citizen, and Mr. Earl Scott. And you know what? When we come back, we'll talk about how responsible, outside of Roz Baraka, how responsible is the community in helping in all of this? We'll come back and
I like that.
We'll come back
that's
and we'll
nice
talk.
Question.
Yes, sir. We'll come back and we'll talk about that in just a moment. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudge nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Right.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun, Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait.
Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, sir. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And the official website of the Ron Kelly Show is www.theronkellyshow.com. If you are a first-time listener or just began listening to the program the last couple of weeks, you want to know a little bit more about me, then surely go right ahead. It's www.theronkellyshow.com. You can check me out on the Facebook, as most of us, a billion or so of us are. It's The Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. And if you don't want to call into the program at 347-426-3214, you can definitely leave your post your comment, as many of you do, on my Facebook page. It's The Ron Kelly Show. All right, joining me this afternoon is Eric Dawson, better known on Facebook as Newark Citizen, and Mr. Earl Scott is joining me as well, and we're having a very spirited conversation about responsibility, basically. Responsibility. Now, and of course, we have mayors all over the country, Gary, Indiana, Chicago, St. Louis, Ferguson, you know what's going on down there, and many other places where things are happening. And, you know, and one of you, I think it was Mr. Scott that said, or it might have been Earl, who said that we have a messiah mentality amongst our folks where we vote in a person and we expect them to do everything, a.k.a. President Obama, which many of us expected Obama to fix everything.
Right.
Forgetting that white folks put Obama in office. He had a lot of black. There's not enough black people in America to put anybody in office by themselves. It's just not enough of us. So if you're thinking that, your arithmetic is wrong. There are not enough African Americans. If every African American in the world in the United States voted for Reverend Al Sharpton, for example, he still would have lost because white folks outnumbered voters, registered voters, I'm not sure. It's probably more than 10 to 1. So, you know, we had this impression that Barack Obama was going to come in and make sure we got our 40 acres and a mule. And many of you who thought that were, well, you know by now, after almost 6 years, that you were sadly, sadly mistaken. So how about it, gentlemen? How responsible is the community in all of this? We talk about Ross Baraka and Jersey City Stephen Fulop and maybe in Patterson Joey Torres and et cetera, et cetera. But how responsible is the community? What role does the community play in improving the community? Let's start with you, Earl.
Well, I come from an era growing up in the late 50s and early 60s when community and neighborhoods were everything. Everybody looked after everyone's kid. Everybody, the community was in the forefront of everything. So it's been fragmented because of all of the variables, the drugs, the this, the that. But we are responsible for our neighborhood. You're only being treated along the line of how you present it to the world of how to treat me. You've been wearing a sign, kick me, I'll take less than that. You keep your neighborhoods dirty. You don't clean up after yourself. It's our responsibility to do a lot of the things that's going on instead of looking outwardly for somebody to come in and put a new washer, some new screws in us. We have to do what we need to do. We need to take care of our communities because, like I said in that thing I wrote on Facebook about coffee, here I am talking to you, Ron, and talking to other people all positive, but here's a guy asking me for a cup of coffee. And that split second, I look down on him, like, get away from me. And see, we have to stop that. We are each other's brothers and keepers. You know, we got to stop stepping over people every day. How many times, just like Mr. Dawson was saying about downtown Newark, I think he may have mentioned something about, I don't know if you hear or not, but we see this out here and we walk by it and we don't do nothing. Mm-hmm. So how do we expect, if we don't do anything about things, how are we going to relay that and say, well, I'm going to damn sure call the mayor on this? Yet and still, I'm seeing crime. I'm seeing things that's unethical. I'm seeing things that's unsavory. And I'm stepping over people. I'm not asking the homeless person, do you have a place to stay at night? Yet and still, that's not my problem. And for somewhere down the line, we've forgotten about our own brothers and sisters and keepers and people in our neighborhood.
Right.
On this, we agree. And what I always say is this. We start from the wrong place. We start by talking about Newark as a community. I think it used to be a community. I think now it is just blocks and blocks of houses that are occupied
by strangers.
And, you know, and then you have the civilized people, concerned people, who are being overrun by hooligans. That's what you have. And so when you start the conversation by calling a community, it's like saying you're going to build a house starting from the third floor. You see, you can't, right? You need a foundation. And so we need to start having a discussion about the fact that we really don't have a community, and we need to begin there. I do agree that the folks in these neighborhoods need to be held accountable for their behavior and their actions, and they play a big part in who they are. And much like Earl said, my grandfather used to say, you train people how to treat you, right? So folks in these neighborhoods have trained, for the most part, folks on how to treat them. Having said all of that, though, because the infrastructure of Newark is handled by the politicians, right, the port, the decisions about what happens to the port, the decisions about what happens with tax abatements, the decisions about what happens with who's hired and who's fired in terms of having qualified people. Though you can't say that you're just going to hold the people in these neighborhoods accountable and you're not going to point a spotlight at the elected officials. You have to do that.
Much like you have to
point the spotlight at the teachers in the classroom. You can say, well, parents are responsible for educating their children. Well, but you got to have qualified teachers, right? You can't just say, well, the heck with what the teacher does, the heck with what the school system does, is the parent's responsibility. No, it's a joint responsibility. A parent has to...
Qualified in what, brother? Like hand-to-hand combat? I mean, the way it is in a lot of these schools, the teachers have to be karate experts.
Home training, Ron. That's what's lacking.
There you
no
go.
In training.
Mr. Kelly,
go ahead, brother.
Mr. Kelly, did we not, this is the issue. We sat around for the last 20, 25 years and watched these whole communities and neighborhoods get to the way he just described it to be. It's not like it just happened overnight. We watched this happen, you know, and it's going to take time in the process to get up out of it. But I don't think that, I'm not saying this whole, everybody is responsible. This is everybody's fault.
Well, everybody is responsible. Everybody is responsible. Did you know what?
I'm not trying to exclude politicians.
I bet Dallas Donuts, and I spoke to Brother Eric Dawson about this earlier. Those 59 murders, there are 59 people who know who killed those people.
That's
outside,
right.
Outside
right.
of the murderers themselves. There are
right.
50, every time somebody gets killed, somebody somewhere besides the killer knows who did it. Somebody
right.
knows. But all this type of nonsense, and people are letting people get away with murder in their own neighborhoods.
Right,
you
and
know
they're
what?
Marching, right? But they're marching. So this is the thing that gets me too, Earl. So you have people out there marching for Michael Brown, right? People in Newark marching for Michael Brown, marching for Trayvon. But I can guarantee you that in those hundreds of people that were marching down Broad Street for Trayvon, that at least 20 or 30% of them know people who carry illegal firearms. Right?
Or who have
and
killed,
they know
or
people,
who have killed
or they
somebody.
Carry them themselves.
Right.
Or they
right.
know people who are dealing drugs. So, see, you don't have to march. Just call
right.
the police. You could fix right. things, but you don't want to do it that way. You want to
I
go
agree
out
with
and
that.
Want to... Hmm?
I agree with you that,
right.
that we do because,
thing.
Like I said before, I walk by people and I see situations and I catch myself and just, you know, if I don't some at least say, I can't stand here and let you hit her. I'm not going to allow that to happen, okay? But most of us will not do that today because most of us have gotten to the point that's not my problem. And this is the point. We have to make things our problems. Will some of us, you understand, come up on the short end because of that? No doubt about it. But it is our responsibility to pull people up when we see something wrong. I was put in check when I was coming up, get off the corner, what you doing out here, shouldn't be out here. And I know we're living in a different world now, but yet and still, we have to address some of the issues in our community. Politicians, you're right, they are responsible for everything, but we are all at fault with this. That's what I'm saying, like, throw me in the bunch. When you talk about Baraka or Shavar and all these people, the politicians, the cats to the cows, throw me right in there with them because of the fact that I'm part of that, too. Because I live in Newark, I am part of the issue, too. Hold me accountable in what I've done in the 100 days. If I can say to you, Mr. Dawson, in these 100 days, this is what I did to eradicate some of the things around the building that I live in or the home that I'm in. So, you know, let me start everything with me. I'm not saying don't hold the mayor accountable. You should. But like I said before, we're all in this thing together.
All in this together, right? And the community, and I believe the community has as much, if not more, responsibility than even the elected officials because,
yes.
you know, you live in this community. I mean, here's what you do. Sweep in front of your, if you're a homeowner or whatever, sweep in front of your door.
Right.
You know, sweep in front of your door. Make sure there's a garbage can out there so folks can, you know, at least the civilized ones, can put their bottles and cans or whatever they're doing in the container. I mean, there's a lot that we can do, I mean, without putting our lives in danger by snitching on other
exactly.
people.
Exactly, exactly.
There's a lot of other
exactly.
things we can do. You know, I mean, the Constitution says that you have the right to face your accuser. And because of that constitutional right, that's why folks are afraid to tell, you know, what they saw. Because I'm sure that they want to. I'm fairly certain that most of the folks who see witness crime want to tell. But, you know, if a person who committed a murder has gang connections, and that one person goes to jail, but the gang stays in the community, and if they find out that you got rid of their homeboy by way of testifying against them, you know, you're on your own basically. So you can't blame folks for not wanting to come forward because they're actually putting themselves you know, in danger.
They are putting themselves in danger, right? But Martin Luther King put himself in danger, right? Elhaj Shabazz put himself in danger, right? Malcolm X put himself in danger, right? To speak what he believed was the truth and to talk the truth. So we ride on the Medgar Evers put himself in danger, right? So we ride on the shoulders and on the backs of people who took a hit for us, but we're not prepared.
We have
a tip line, right? We have a tip line. So I'm not even saying that you necessarily have to go scream from the intersection that such and such and such and such is doing whatever. But there's a tip line that you can call.
Yes.
Right, so you could do that, and if the people were blowing up the tip line phone number,
yeah. Well, you know what? The thing about it is that, and Mr. Kelly, you and I had talked previously, and this is what I say when I put myself out there because of the fact that I've had a background where that I engage in some of the behavior that we're talking about. Newark has a behavior problem, like all cities across America, and it has a serious behavior problem, which turns over into economic depravity, where you find the violence, the substance abuse, the domestic violence, environmental issues, and then it moves further right, you understand, where we have legislation and social policy where politicians have to find funding or find ways to offset which was someone's behavior and their choice. We're just dealing with people that have made choices. We got to teach people to make better choices with their lives. How do you do that? It's not easy to do that, but we have a behavior problem that's out of control that needs to teach people how can we empower people to make better quality decisions, because that way all that stuff in the middle, the economic depravity and all that stuff, will not be there. How do we get somebody to understand? Go ahead, Mr. Miller.
And that notwithstanding, brother, you know, we also have a culture problem as well. And
the mayor's back. I'll say this. He gave a speech at Central High School years back, right, where he said, this is not normal. And I believe that resonated, and that's true. It's not normal. And we do have to address it, Earl. But
Eric, another thing you have to understand, too, brother, is that people, you know, you're running a campaign, and Ross Baraka won't be the first person who made a promise he couldn't keep extraordinarily difficult to. I can't say he didn't keep because he's only been the mayor for 2 months, but he isn't the first person who made a promise that would be extraordinarily difficult for him to keep. He won't be the first person who's done that. So, you know, and shame on the people who bought it.
Shame on him, too, but shame on the people who bought it.
I just think that you know, there's a book called How Ghettos Are Created, and the gentleman talks, and I have the author's name over here, the book over here, and he talks about a lot of politicians and a lot of preachers and a lot of people to keep control of the people and keep some kind of power over the people. They have to continue to paint them as victims, that they can't do it, that, you know, they're sending them two messages. You can't do it, and I'm the one that can fix you. And that's what their predecessors used to do. I'm the only one that can save you. And that's that savior, messiah mentality. I think that Mr. Baraka, and looks like Mr. Kelly said, is not going to be the – I'm not going to sit around and because he wasn't able to deliver on certain things. Maybe you understand I need to look how I can help support the administration, how I can support Mr. Jeffries, how I can support all these people that are still trying to do something. Everything is not going to be the way that I want them to be or they should be. So, you know, look for the good. And I told a story about the four men that were walking, and three of the men saw nothing but like what other people see, the wrong in this decomposed body. And all they saw was the filthiness, the ugliness, the terrible way this body looked. But this one person said, but has any of y'all looked at the man's teeth? The man had perfect teeth. So what I try to do is look at the good in the situation and try to seek out the best resolved in it. I looked at my departure from City Hall as one as that something else can emerge in my life to carry me forth. My job is done here for me to be personalized, and because, oh, he didn't deliver this because – no. I have to try to support him, support Mr. Kelly, support Mr. Dawson, not sit back and be mad at you because of the fact we disagree on things. We all have a view. You have great goodness, and I showed you on at Facebook, Mr. Dawson. I think that you're brilliant in some ways, like we all are. And we just got to keep empowering each other. That's all. And don't get mad when it don't go my way. Don't get mad when it don't go my way.
Right. See, that's why I wanted this show to end with us agreeing not to be disagreeable. There's about 30 seconds left of the program, everybody. So, and listen, guys, I want to thank you so much, Eric Dawson.
Great, thank you.
Eric Dawson will be joining us again next week. Eric Dawson, known or better known is on Facebook as Newark Citizen. Of course, Earl Scott and you gentlemen are both welcome. Eric, we'll see you back in. I mean, Eric, we'll see you back in next week. And Earl Scott, you're welcome to come join us.
Mr. Kelly, thank you. And I appreciate you having me on your show. And you take care, Mr. Dawson. I'll look for your post. And thank you for what you've given me today, Mr. Dawson.
Hey, thank you, Earl. It was great talking.
All right, thank you both, guys. We're out of here. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.